Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you know classic rock, you know the legendary band Styx, formed in Chicago in 1972. Styx has battled through the personal and professional challenges that seem to be part of the DNA of most rock bands. Today, Styx is one of those iconic rock bands that remains a must-see in concert. And Styx will be part of this year's Endymion Extravaganza a week from Saturday, February the 22nd. And JY, James Young, joins us this afternoon. Welcome, JY.
Good. Happy to be with you, sir.
And, you know, I always considered Styx to be one of the more cerebral rock bands, and you guys were solid rockers, but, man, you really did understand the power of the rock ballad, didn't you?
Well, absolutely. Rock ballads, I mean, Day Being One Lady was kind of the first national hit, and it kind of was started as a ballad, but then kicked into being a rock song, and with bolero tempo at the very end. So it was kind of, we wanted always to start, maybe draw the people in, but then, you know, hit them with a little curveball, so we weren't, you know, just another run-of-the-mill, standard group. We wanted to put our own spin on everything, and it worked for us.
JY, I've been doing this as long as you've been doing it, because I remember as a young DJ at a rock radio station here in New Orleans in 1974, I remember playing Lady when it was first released as a single. That song really did set an image for you that you guys maintained over the years.
Well, that song was on our second album, which was released originally in 73, but then what happened was that a few people discovered it then, but it somehow kept getting requests on Chicago Radio WLS, which is top 40 station, and they said, we never get requests for a song. So a year later, they said, we believe this was a hit that the record company missed, and we're going to play it once a night when we go 50,000 watching here, all the way down at Daytona Beach from Chicago, and the record company finally got behind it in a big way, and we had our first top 10 national hit.
All right. So I read a story that somehow Lady fell through the cracks and you guys didn't really benefit that much from the hit.
Well, the first time around, that's the truth, because, I mean, it really got played at Little Rock. It got played in Rapid City, South Dakota. It got played in Provo, Utah. So we went to those places. But it took a couple of years, as I just described before this, for us to get the muscle of the record company behind it. And I don't know, then we play it every night. It's the song that kind of got us going. So.
Well, that was another thing that I wanted to ask you. What are a couple of the songs that you have to play every time you're on stage?
Come Sail Away, Too Much Time on My Hands, Renegade are ones that come to mind. There's a few others there's Mr. Roboto was actually our biggest single, and it's kind of the song that broke up the band. But it kind of killed part of the first generation of our audience, but it really spawned the next generation of fans. And we hadn't played it really at all since we parted ways with Dennis DeYoung back in 2000, in the year 2000. But we took a poll of the people that worked for us, and they said, what are the fans asking for? We're out at the merch counter or at the lighting console, and I said, the only song they ever requested was Mr. Roboto. So we've added that one back in, and that was actually a gold single, which is a million seller. And at the time of that it got to the number one spot, the only other gold singles on the chart were Michael Jackson's Billie Jean and Beat It. So,
JY, why did you determine that Mr. Roboto was going to be more of a female appeal song than a song to appeal to your core male audience?
Well, we were always a complex mixture of people with different tastes, and we battled over every song many times. And Mr. Roboto was something that was Dennis DeYoung's dream, and the rest of us really thought it was going to be too hard of a turn on the wheel for our male rock fans, and indeed that was the case, because of, you know, it killed our concert ticket sales, or cut them in half, and cut our album sales in half from the previous album, and then we sort of broke up after that because it had been Dennis DeYoung's dream, and the rest of ours, you know, we had doubts, but 20, 30 years later, that's just part of what we do, and we're finding new young fans that have rediscovered the joy of vinyl and the joy of classic rock. So,
if you're just tuning in, I'm Scoot, and we're talking to JY, James Young of Styx. They're going to be performing at the Endymion Extravaganza a week from Saturday, February the 22nd, and this is just one of those iconic rock bands. And in the very beginning, I talked about how, you know, you guys faced personal and professional challenges that seem to be part of the DNA of most rock bands. Take us back to that moment when you had to part ways with Dennis DeYoung.
Well, we basically... the band broke up after 1983 and didn't play again until for eight more years, 91. And then Tommy has already signed up with Ted Nugent and Damn Yankees, and they had a successful run. Then Damn Yankees lost their deal, and so we finally got everybody back together in 96 and had two or three years of success again as a concert act. I mean, couldn't get arrested at radio anymore in terms of new music because, new music tends to be targeted at a younger audience, and we were not part of the Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, grunge, whatever that was going on at that moment in time. That's 20 years ago. But ultimately, Dennis he just doesn't like touring that much, and we sort of figured we had to get back. We were very successful as a concert act in the late 90s. He just stopped wanting to go on the road, and the rest of us, who weren't getting the same kind of royalties that he was from the writing, you know, benefits. And he didn't want us to go out, and we said, you know, we'll just come play the shows you want. We'll get a standing for you. He had worked on Broadway for a minute in the touring company of Jesus Christ Superstar, played Pontius Pilate. So he knows what a stand-in was, but he rejected that notion, and he thought we'd fail without him, and we didn't. Then he sued us in federal court in Chicago over the use of the name, and ultimately we sells a lot of court, and we have use of the name, and we pay him an override on it. So
I'm glad it worked out. Okay, look, we've matured now. You know, we're part of the establishment.
Wait
now.
A minute. Speak for yourself.
Well, I didn't say we have to act our age, but we have matured over time.
Not in terms of
behavior, but look, you're still kicking ass on stage. Did you expect to be doing this at this age?
Well, I mean, I look at the Rolling Stones, and Mick Jagger kind of set the standard for it. If he can do it, why can't I do it?
Of course. And you average 100 shows a year. Now, you don't have to do this, right? You do this because you choose to do it.
Well, some of us have had an extravagant lifestyle, and the money, you know, you think the money's going to go on forever, but it doesn't. And our original drummer, John, passed away, so we have... an amazing replacement part, Todd Zuckerman, who is voted the classic rock drummer, number one classic rock drummer in the world, in a Reader's Poll of Modern Drummer magazine, which, of course, is the Bible of the industry. But I mean, we have world class hired guns in the band: Lawrence Gowan on keyboards and vocals, who is a Canadian superstar but didn't really sort of become known in the States till he joined up with us, and then Ricky Phillips, who was in the Babies. He was in Bad English, which was basically Journey, with John Wade on lead vocal, and then he came and joined us in 2003, my favorite part has always been standing on the stage and performing live.
I've always wanted to ask, I just
love doing it.
And you can tell. I've always wanted to ask somebody in Styx how you felt when Eric Cartman covered Come Sail Away on South Park.
Well, it was a crazy thing. That was 1999, and that, along with Adam Sandler talking about Styx being the greatest band in the world, and having this young child, you know, 6 or 7 year old kid, talking about how Styx is the greatest band in the world in a movie that grossed, you know, many millions of dollars, and we didn't even know Adam Sandler he just, you know, he wanted to do it. And we finally met him about 7-8 years later, and really nice guy. And he said, "Hey, you guys are great. I love you. And my pleasure," kind of a thing. And, but I meet people, and now the first they ever heard of Styx was watching Big Daddy. So, and that along with Cartman in 1999, were just showed just to me just how much we had sort of become embedded in popular culture in America.
Yeah. The lyrics of a song like The Best of Times, it seems like that applies to today as much as it did in 1981 when the song was released. The song is relatable and it transcends generations. When you sing The Best of Times, do you think about things that are going on and things that the audience is facing today?
How can you not? I mean, the world, particularly with the advent of the personal cell phone and the ability to take pictures and videos or whatever, so the far corners of the globe, we're aware of certain, you know, barbaric practices that still exist in the far corners of this planet. And, you know, there's you don't have to look far to find something that's profoundly unsettling.
You know,
and I feel so helpless, like a boat against the tide. Rumor has it it's the end of paradise. But fortunately, as a race, the human race, we have found ways to overcome this stuff. And music is, I think, a key element in all of that, because life is not easy. But if you hear a song that says the right things and it says it in the right way and the music is good, it kind of settles and soothes and calms the spirit and gives you the strength to wake up tomorrow and go at it again.
You know, as rockers, you guys were great songwriters and great singers. And, you know, to me, the harmony in songs like The Best of Times, the harmonies were just was amazing.
Well, we, you know, the Chicago bands of the 60s, like the American Breed, The Shadows of Night, The Crying Shames, a lot of these bands are really based on that big three-part harmony sound. And we loved the British bands that did the same thing. Yes was a big influence on us because we all had some kind of classical training to a point. And so it just, you know, but the big vocal chorus, I think when we talked to Dan Rather on Access TV, Tommy kind of said it, it's kind of like that big gospel chorus that just kind of gets your spine tingling and just, you know, it's very highly motivating. And it's when you have three strong voices singing in harmony, a powerful lyric, and nailing those notes, it's big.
Let me share a couple of texts that have come in, JY. Here's one that says, "I had no desire to go to the extravaganza until I heard Styx was playing. It's always a great event, but this year I will be over the top." Another text says, "Wow, James Young, my sister played Grand Delusion to death. I played Pieces of Eight. That crushed it." Another one says, "Styx rocks live. Saw them 2 years ago. No Kilroy songs, all rock." Another text says, "Mr. Roboto rocks." And this text says, "Scoot asked JY if he remembers playing the Burlington High School prom in Wisconsin when Styx first started."
I am vague about Burlington, Wisconsin. I know we've been there at some point, but the precise date and when and where and what, I have to say that it's not coming to the forefront of my memory banks. But we played all over the state of Wisconsin because it was so accessible from Chicago, and all over the state of Indiana and Michigan, and then kind of spread out from there, finally to become a national and international act. Burlington, Wisconsin, we've been there. We're fond of the great state of Wisconsin, even though as Bears fans, we know the Packers from up there. But
All right, Saturday, February 22nd, you're performing at the Endymion Extravaganza. Now, the crowd is going to be predisposed to have fun. Tell me about playing in front of a crowd like that.
Couldn't be better. People ask me what my favorite venue in the world to play is, and I say the House of Blues in New Orleans, because that place, the crowd is singing louder than we are playing. It's just astounding. And so every time we come back, and I mean, after Katrina, we had actually played, I think, in the Dome. Journey followed us very late at night, but we rode the float in the day, and we just had one great time. We first played New Orleans in 1976, New Year's Eve, at the Warehouse. So, I mean, we just have tremendously fond memories of New Orleans, And we always love coming back, particularly at Mardi Gras time. So
yeah, we recently on this show talked about the 50th anniversary of the warehouse opening up. What do you love about coming to New Orleans?
Well, it's just of course the food is there. We love that, but just there's an energy that city has, that your city has, that you don't find anywhere else. And I mean, it is a melting pot of a cross current of a number of cultures. But it's just there's sort of it's not really the Wild West, but there's a sense of artistry and beauty mixed with, you know, it's okay to go crazy here. We're not too judgmental down here. And so you want to be stupid, go ahead and be stupid. And if you want to have the best meal of your life, come to New Orleans. So it has so much to offer. I look forward every time we come back.
You know, we often say in the summertime, it's not the heat, it's the stupidity. Hey, tell me a good groupie story.
A good what?
Tell me a good groupie story.
I don't have any.
No, come on, you got to have a groupie story. You got to have one that you can tell me.
Well, you know, it's I'm astounded by the fact that people, males, females, will follow us all over the country and all over the globe. And when we just played in Germany for the first time, we played Europe for the first time in about 8 to 9 years. And when we got there's a young woman that's in, she's not so young anymore, but she and her husband, I believe it is, we saw them in the first row of the concert the night before, I think in Norway, and then we're in the middle of Sweden, and there she is outside of the hotel before we get there. You know, it's astounding how people just love the music of this band and love being around it and want to be as close to it as they can get.
Styx was formed almost 50 years ago, and you're a rock phenomenon now and through the 70s and the 80s. JY, what is the thing that you most recognize about yourself today that's the same as that person that started out with Styx many years ago?
Well, I always believed from age 14 that I would succeed in the music business, and I always wrote my notes to myself, aim high. And we continue, you know, and unfortunately I got surrounded by the right people at the right time with the right stuff in the right city. And with a work ethic that some musicians don't have, we were, you know, we're not afraid of going out there and beating the bushes as hard as we had to sort of, you know, get to the first plateau. And then we worked our butts off writing and co-writing and battled like heck in the studio because we all kind of like slightly different things. But ultimately, the joy that I have performing on stage is what keeps me going, because that's all what I always wanted to do, was just, you know, be part of a rock band. To my right is maybe the best drummer on the planet, depending on, you know, it's all subjective. There's Tommy Shaw over there singing his butt up. There's Lawrence Gall over there, an amazing keyboard player and an amazing showman and a great singer. There's Ricky Phillips there, bass player extraordinaire that's been seen anything and everything in Los Angeles because he lived there through the whole time. And his sister is Kathy Kennedy, who's Spielberg's main producer. I mean, I'm surrounded by world-class talent. And we're putting on world-class shows, and people are complimenting me on guitar playing and say, you're unique, nobody plays like you. And, I mean, you know, I saw Hendrix play 5 times live, so, I mean, I've got a lot to compare myself to, and I've never really think I'm quite that good. But, you know, I've achieved what I set out to do, and just to go out there and, I mean, we've played in front of as many as 50, 60, 70,000 people at a certain point in time, and There's just an energy that cannot be duplicated, and I love that energy. I'm addicted to that energy, and I'm blessed that I get to do what I always wanted to do, and I'm still able to do it in my very late in my 60s. So.
And, you know, we're all going to feel that energy at the Endymion Extravaganza Saturday night, February the 22nd. J.Y. James Young of the Legendary Styx, thanks for taking time with us today.
Scoot, it's my pleasure.
Cool.
We'll see you guys this weekend.
All right.
Next weekend, I mean.
Next weekend.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks. JY, James Young of Styx. I'm Scoot. We're coming back on WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!